Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. I welcome you to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where lives are being enriched by the word of God. Hallelujah. It's such a great time again this morning. And then we're going to be looking through scriptures to find out the mind of God in this subject or this teaching concerning spiritual growth. We've been on it for the past few weeks now. Spiritual growth and what it looks like. What exactly is spiritual growth? We've gone over this, and then presently we are studying or looking into scriptures to find out what to do to grow spiritually. And the first thing I've been emphasizing is how that the man of God or the believer, whichever you choose, hallelujah. Let me say this, in silent quarters, people don't believe you can refer to a believer, just any believer at all, as a man of God. But then the Bible refers to every believer as a man of God. Every believer is a man of God. And it is not some very big or, you know, very high-sounding title. No, it's just a man who is of God. Praise God. It's that simple. He is a man. The believer is a man who is of God. It makes a distinction. That's a distinction, rather, between him and the man that is not born again. The man that is not born again is not a man of God. The man that is born again is a man that belongs to God. He's a man of God. Hallelujah. Someone says, well, men of God, the title is for ministers. Also, every believer is a minister of the gospel. Every believer is a minister of the gospel. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So God, reconciling us to himself in the same vein, has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Every saint, every child of God, every believer out there is a minister of the gospel. So back to what I was saying. Every child of God, every minister of the gospel out there, every Christian in search or in pursuit of spiritual growth must have a desire for being taught. That's the first thing to desire as a Christian. When you think about spiritual growth, the first thing that should come to your mind is, where do I receive teaching? How do I get started with being taught? It's all about teaching first. That's the first thing to receive. Hallelujah. It is not first about how much you can do personal study. No, that's not it. It was for that reason that Jesus gave gifts to the body. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Hallelujah. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Praise God. And then I'm going to try to round this off in 2 days. That is, I'm going to talk about the importance of teaching again today and what to look out for in teaching in a sound ministry gift, which is what we've been on for the past few weeks. And then I'll get on to showing you one of the reasons why you cannot just assume to be responsible for yourself. You can't just assume to be good and, you know, be doing all fine by yourself without being taught, without being trained, which is an aspect or an angle that most people do not even know or understand. An aspect that most people do not pay attention to. That makes them easily just discard the place of being taught and trained in the ministry. Hallelujah. So today, let's go ahead to see one more time the importance of apostolic doctrine in ministry. When I'm looking for a sound ministry gift, in judging a sound ministry gift as a Christian, what am I to look out for? I've emphasized carefully on this broadcast that you must look out for apostolic doctrine. You must look out for what the apostles taught, what they said, and the way they said it. Hallelujah. And I said the reason is simple. It was to them that Jesus entrusted the message. At Romans chapter 2, verse 16, Paul refers to the gospel as my gospel. Romans 16, 25, my gospel. In fact, let's look at those places. My gospel. Nobody can be saying that today, you know, if you are not in the ranks of the apostles. Romans in chapter 2, Oh, hallelujah. He calls it my gospel because Jesus entrusted it to him. Now Paul says, I wasn't taught the gospel. I wasn't taught by any man. I didn't confer with flesh and blood. He received it from the Lord Jesus. He says, I received it by revelation. Romans in chapter 2 and verse 16. Hallelujah. Bible says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Amen. Now look at Romans chapter 16, verse 25. He calls it my gospel. Romans 16, 25. Oh, hallelujah. Look at this now. Glory to God. He calls it my gospel. He says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures. Again, you've seen again that there's the combination of the ministry of the apostles and the prophets. Hallelujah. Just like he says in Ephesians chapter 2, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So when Paul says my gospel, he's referring to his apostolic authority. Praise God. His apostolic authority. Because it was to them that Jesus committed and entrusted the message. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 8. My gospel. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 8, look at this. Bible says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer. In fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Yeah, it doesn't say my gospel, but the manner of presentation shows you that Paul is laying claim to apostolic authority. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And that kind of authority is not found in the church today. You can't claim to have received it from the Lord Jesus first hand. No. You are a recipient of the ministry of the apostles. The gospel we preach today came by the ministry of the apostles, but the apostles received it from the Lord himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at this. Hallelujah. From verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and by the 12. So, where did he receive it? He says, I delivered to you that which I first received. Hallelujah. That's apostolic authority. He didn't receive it from the church. He received it from the Lord. Galatians in chapter 2. Let's see this again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Galatians. See Galatians, we see Hebrews. And then we'll make progress. Hallelujah. Galatians in chapter 2. Paul received it from the Lord. And then passed it on to men. Praise God. In fact, Galatians 1. I'll read from verse 11. He says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel I preach is not according to man. I did not receive it from men, neither was I taught it. It came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's not the kind of thing any preacher or a pastor today should be found saying, because you must have received it. In fact, let me say this carefully. If any man claims to have received the gospel from Christ today, I want to bet with you that Jesus will point him or her, to what the apostles taught. Jesus will point him or her to the scriptures. Jesus will point him or her to what the apostles have documented, painstakingly documented in their letters. Hallelujah. And I've heard all such kind of, testimonies, people saying that, you see, they didn't go to a church meeting or a church gathering. Nobody preached to them. I was just reading my Bible. Well, the apostles preached to you. Praise God. So, but I get the fact that you're saying nobody preached to you. I mean, nobody alive in your time. So, but then God used the ministry of the apostles firsthand via their letters to impact you with the gospel. Amen. Praise God. So look at Hebrews also. So the apostles owned the doctrine because Jesus entrusted the message unto them. You know, today you and I will say, well, it's not my doctrine, it's about the scriptures. But the Apostle Paul will say, it's my doctrine. We're going to see that scripture. He calls it my doctrine because Jesus entrusted the message to them. Hebrews in chapter 2, I'll read from verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? So, the Lord confirmed, the Lord spoke to them, and then they brought the message to us. So, it is their doctrine. Hallelujah. It is their doctrine. Praise God. Look at 1 Timothy in chapter 1, verse 3. That's why the apostles could instruct men to teach no other doctrine. They could instruct men to not say anything contrary to what they had said. 1 Timothy and chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. I'll read. Bible says, as I urged you, Paul speaking, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. That you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Have you seen? Paul had the right to say, don't teach any other doctrine, because Jesus entrusted him with the message. Hallelujah. He refers to it as his doctrine. 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 14. Look at this now. He says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine. Someone says, that's the problem I have with this Apostle Paul. Why would he refer to it as his doctrine? Is it not the doctrine of Jesus? Did any of the other apostles refer to it as their doctrine? Well, you must have missed it. Acts 2:42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. It is apostles' doctrine. That's why I've been emphasizing apostolic doctrine. So Paul had the right to say that the gospel, the message, is my doctrine. Hallelujah. My doctrine. You've carefully followed my doctrine. Praise God. Manner of life, purpose, faith, my faith. Hallelujah. Long suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. He was instructing Timothy to remember his doctrine and to continue in the same. Hallelujah. In fact, at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, look at the instruction. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That which you have received from me, that which you have received and you've learned from me, you've heard from me, commit this to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So you see that there's meant to be passing down this message, this doctrine, in its purity from generation to generation. Hallelujah. Somewhere along the line, there was a break in transmission. Hallelujah. Somewhere along the line, there was a break in transmission, and what we have passed down from generation to generation is a watered down version of the doctrine of the apostles. Hallelujah. And this is why the phrase apostolic doctrine is even very scarce in the body of Christ today. Several Christians have not heard that phrase before, apostolic doctrine. They don't even know what it means to preach apostolic doctrine. Praise God. If you say to some believers today, apostolic doctrine, they will think you are referring to Christ's apostolic church or the apostolic church itself. Amen. You know, there's the apostolic church, a denomination, and there's Christ's apostolic church. So they will think you are saying we should be teaching doctrine of Christ's apostolic church. Unknown to them, apostolic doctrine is what the apostles, the foundational apostles taught. Hallelujah. In some other circles, what we have is not even a watered down version of what the apostles taught. What we have is, you know, outright falsehood, false teaching, false doctrines. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what we are to look out for is apostolic doctrine, because it was the apostles that Jesus entrusted with the message. Look at Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Jude has only one chapter, so we can also safely say Jude 3. Hallelujah. Very, very vital truth that Jude pens down for us. Very vital truth that Jude, or let me say Jude, penned down for us. Hallelujah. Jude 1, 3. Bible says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning a common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." So you see that the faith was not delivered in bits and pieces. In bits and bits. No, it was delivered once and for all. That is, the apostles delivered to us what is called apostolic doctrine, the message, the gospel. Hallelujah. Delivered once for all to the saints. In other words, what I'm saying is this: all that God wants to say with respect to doctrine has been said by the apostles. Hallelujah. God is not saying anything new. All that needs to be said has been said. God is not speaking to us today with respect to doctrine. He's not speaking new revelation. God has spoken. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world." God has spoken. Hallelujah. God has spoken. God is not speaking. God has spoken. Remember, with respect to doctrine. Hallelujah. Where should I walk? What should I do today? The leading of the Spirit with respect to our personal lives, that is ongoing. God is always speaking to us, giving us instructions. With respect to doctrine, God has spoken. Hallelujah. And let the church say amen. God has spoken. God is not saying anything new to us today. God is not going to raise any man of God, any pastor or prophet or apostle or bishop today to say to us a new thing. Every minister of the gospel today must have an allegiance to apostolic doctrine, that which God has said and has spoken through his Son via the ministry of the apostles. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. That's why they had the right to say, see, anyone that does not follow us, don't follow him. They had the right to say that, because it was to them that Jesus entrusted the message. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And then we're going to see from verse 6. Glory to God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 from verse 6. Bible says, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and does not, and not according to the tradition which he received from us." Have you seen? We command you to withdraw from everyone who walks disorderly, from everyone who does not walk according to the tradition received from us. Look at verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 and 15. Hallelujah. Verses 14 and 15. Bible says, "If anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." They had the right to instruct men to not associate with people who refuse their doctrine, who refuse their message and their instructions. Glory to God. Glory to God. And you see, that's because it was to them that Jesus entrusted the message. I'll keep saying that. It has to sink. Jesus entrusted the message to the apostles. Hallelujah. So they had the right to say, anybody that does not listen to us is not of God. Anybody that does not listen to us should not be heard. They had the right to say that. Glory to God. In fact, let me show you two portions of scriptures in quick successions. 1 Corinthians in chapter 14. See what Paul said here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I'll read from verse 36. Paul says, "Or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. If any man says he is a prophet or is spiritual, he must prove his worth by acknowledging the things I'm writing to you as being from the Lord." Hallelujah. Now look at verse 38. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. In fact, what that verse is saying is this: if anyone ignores our instruction, let him be ignored. Praise God. In the Greek, the word translated ignorant there actually also means to ignore. If anyone ignores us, let him be ignored. Paul couldn't have meant if anybody is ignorant, let him be ignorant. No, if you are ignorant, we'll educate you. But the idea here, the idea of ignorance here is that the man that ignores us, which is the opposite of what he says at verse 37, the man that says he's a prophet or is spiritual must acknowledge the things we are writing. But if such a man ignores us, let him also be ignored. Praise God. You cannot ignore the ministry of the apostles and then seek to have audience in the church. For ignoring the ministry of the apostles, their doctrine, their emphasis, you also should be ignored. Hallelujah. Let me read you two other versions of the Bible to further clarify this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37 to 38 in the Amplified Version. Listen carefully. It says, if anyone thinks and claims that he's a prophet, filled with and governed by the Holy Spirit of God and inspired to interpret the divine will and purpose in preaching or teaching, and has any other spiritual endowment, let him understand, recognize, and acknowledge that what I am writing to you is a command of the Lord. Verse 38, but if anyone disregards or does not recognize that it is a command of the Lord, that it is a command from the Lord, is disregarded and not recognized, he is one whom God knows not. Hallelujah. Have you seen that it's about the man disregarding or not recognizing the authority of Paul as an apostle? Look at the NIV. NIV, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37 to 38. It says, if anybody thinks he's a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. Verse 38. If he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. Hallelujah. So you see that a major reason why we accept people as sound in the faith, a major reason why we accept any ministry today, is that the man has accepted wholeheartedly the ministry of the apostles. If the man disregards or does not recognize the ministry of the apostles, he himself ought to be disregarded. He himself ought to be ignored. He himself should not be received. Glory to God. Look at 2 John. Hallelujah. 2 John, glory to God. 2 John, and I'll read from verse 10. I think we saw this the last time. 2 John, let's read from verse 9 to 10. The Bible says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, whose doctrine? The doctrine of the Apostle John, which is the same gospel that Paul was preaching, and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Hallelujah. That is, you must not receive any minister, anyone in the capacity of a minister, that comes with a different doctrine from that which the apostles taught. Hallelujah. In fact, listen, Paul at Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, even makes it more scary. Paul makes it an instruction to be obeyed without any form of sentiment. Galatians chapter 1, from verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now, the implication of this is very grave. It was Paul that taught these guys. It was Paul that brought the message to them. It was Paul that preached the gospel to them. Now, the same Paul is saying, even if we now come with another message, contrary to what we have preached before, let us be accursed. Hallelujah. Do you understand? That is, we have taught you the gospel. It's established through scriptures. You verified it to be the truth. If we come back later to tell you, even with the capacity or the authority of an apostle, let us be accursed. That is how sacrosanct the instruction is. Hallelujah. Imagine the implication of what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, see, hold on to apostolic doctrine so much that even if an apostle backslides and comes to tell you something new, you should reject him. Reject him and his new message and hold on to the first thing he told you. Hallelujah. That which was delivered to the church once and for all, the faith delivered to the church once and for all, hold on to it and never let it go. Even if an apostle comes back to say something else, reject him and his second message and hold on to the first thing that the Lord passed across through them. Hallelujah. That's how important apostolic doctrine is. That's how important that which they are taught, that which they are said in their letters, that's how important those things are. See, remove apostolic doctrine from the church, there is no Christianity. Hallelujah. Remove that which the apostles taught from the church, there is no Christianity. That is why every minister or any preacher today that is preaching something that is not consistent with apostolic doctrine or their model of ministry is not promoting Christianity. Such a man is not advancing the cause of the Christian faith. You know what the person is doing? Such a man has created or formed his own sect. Many do not realize that there are different sects in the body of Christ. Different sects in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Because men are not paying attention. Men are not, pledging allegiance to the doctrine of the apostles as taught in the scriptures. Glory to God. I'm going to continue from here tomorrow. In the podcast tomorrow, I'm going to be addressing two vital things. You don't want to miss them. Tune in and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Invite your family, friends, colleagues, classmates, schoolmates, anybody at all. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of prayers, spiritual songs, full of faith and power. And be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.